Okay, so I grappled with, in this presentation, how much background to give, because in general we just try to, hopefully we're here to get very clear to the halacha, but in order to understand the halacha, and understand the different cases of the halacha, and what's mutter and what's usur, we're going to have to give a little bit of background. I'm not going to try, I'm going to involve all of the background, all of the whys, and all of the what's, and the wherefores, but at least something we're going to have to start with. Okay. We're coming to the question of taking a shower on Yom Tov. That's the question. So, besides the actual question of taking a shower, there's a few things which we're going to move to the side fairly quickly. Number one is using soap. So we know they can't use bar soap. Any type of bar soap is a problem. But you can use liquid soap. So what defines liquid? What makes liquid soap liquid? How liquid is liquid? So as long as it pours, it's considered a liquid. So even if it pours slowly, that's still considered a liquid. You can use that. That'll be relevant for the soap, and further also be relevant for the shampoo. That would not be a problem. A person has to be aware of schita issues. Schita issues could come up really in three areas in washing oneself. One, if a person would want to use a sponge or a washcloth or something of that sort, obviously you can't do that. You're going to be doing schita. So you'd have to be just using your hand. Number two, you have to be careful while you're under the water, etc., whatever the situation will be. There's not the schita on your hair. It's not really mood taking water out of your hair. But after you finished, as you're drying your hair, you can't squeeze the water out of the hair. And the third thing, obviously, would be in a scenario which the towel became very wet. The person would squeeze out the towel. A person should not do that. So, in regard to the hair, what you do is you just drape a towel over the hair and let it dry that way. While a person will be shampooing their hair, they can't shampoo their hair vigorously because they might be pulling out hairs. So that'd be a problem. So you can't rub in the shampoo, you can't pull out any loose hairs, can't pull off any loose skin. All those things would be problems on Yom Tov. General brushing hair there is difficult on Yom Tov. That's a different shear. I think we did once to sort of brushing hair. But even with all of your attainment for brushing hair, in a scenario where the brush is soft and you are brushing gently, and it's a brush which is designated for Shabbos Yom Tov use, but while your hair is wet, you should not do so. So, because that would be considered, usually it's considered some act of schita. So, you're not going to be doing any brushing on your hair. The way your hair comes out after it dries, that's the way it's going to be. Okay, so if that discourages you from taking a shower, that's the way it's going to be. But that's the background issues that you might have before we get to how to take a shower, whether you can take a shower, what are the issues which Chazal dealt with when they discussed the issue of taking a shower. I do want to point out one thing that the Aruch HaShulchan says, that there's no leniency for Yom Tov Sheni. There's no special leniency. Someone say, well, Yom Tov Sheni, you can take a shower. There's no such chapter. That on Yom Tov Sheni, you can take a shower. Whatever Chazal asked on Yom Tov Rishon, they asked on Yom Tov Sheni, with specific exceptions. Refuah is mutter on the second day. Yom Tov is not mutter on the first day. Person can take medication on the second day. They can't take medication on the first day. And lo aleinu, a situation where somebody would be nifter, we deal with the issues of burying somebody on Yom Tov on the second day. We deal with it differently than the first day. But other than that, there's no leniencies on Yom Tov Sheni over Yom Tov Rishon. If a person is more makel on Yom Tov Sheni than Yom Tov Rishon, it's considered he's insulting Yom Tov Sheni, and it's very chomer. So please do not accept that phrase out there which people say, that it's incorrect. There's no special heter for Yom Tov Sheni over Yom Tov Rishon when it comes to taking a shower. Okay, so now, what are the issues of taking a shower on Yom Tov? What are the issues which we have to be aware of, and how can we address them in a way which would be halachically permitted? Or is there a way to address them in a way which halacha be permitted? And I come up with some of them. I have my suggestion, the practical suggestion. As my wife said, ladies are practical. Maybe they'll come up with a different practical suggestion. I'm willing to hear suggestions from you if you have any ideas, and we'll see if they would fit the criteria. Okay, there are four issues that we have to be aware of when we're talking about washing oneself on Yom Tov. Shabbos is all different ballgame, right? We're talking about Yom Tov. Okay, so the first one is are we allowed to heat the water? Are we allowed to heat the water for the purpose of washing oneself? We know that there are certain malachas which are permitted. Are we allowed to heat water? A person wants to wash dishes, a person can heat water. Taking water out of the tap is equivalent to a malacha of heating water. Because the way our tap works is that it uses the water pressure from the main, goes into the water heater, and the only way I can get the water out of the water heater is by having new water come into the water heater, and that water is going to be heated. So therefore, taking water out, theoretically, before Yom Tov, you would go and turn off the intake valve into your hot water heater, things would be quite different. The problem is it wouldn't work. It needs water pressure to push it out. Now, if you live in the university towers, some of you live in the towers, or the Warwick, very high buildings, do not rely on water pressure. They rely on a pump, and it's a whole different system. And depending how the system is set up, it might have a different halach in regards to this issue. But in regards to the average home, anytime you're taking hot water out, it's because hot water is coming in. It's considered that you're cooking water on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to cook water on Yom Tov? You're allowed to cook water on Yom Tov to drink. You're allowed to cook water on Yom Tov to use to wash the dishes. You're allowed to cook water on Yom Tov to wash certain parts of your body, but not your whole body. So a person cannot cook water on Yom Tov for the purpose of washing their whole body. So that's the first issue which we have to be aware of. There is such an issue. Okay, the second issue which we have to be aware of is that the Chachamim came along and said, Gzeirat Rabbanan, Chachamim made a takana, that they did not allow a person to wash their whole body, even if water which was heated before Yom Tov. So let's say I have a situation which, you know, good old days, you make it take a big pot, heat it up before Yom Tov, and that's it. Or I could find a way to get my hot water heater I close the intake valve before Yom Tov. There's no water being heated on Yom Tov. The water is going to be only heated from before Yom Tov. I still cannot wash my whole body. I cannot wash my whole body at that point in time at one time. I cannot wash my body at one time. Even with water which is heated before Yom Tov, Chachamim said you may not wash the whole body at one time. Okay, the third issue which we have to be aware of is that there is a minog that Rav Moshe Feinstein brings down. There is a minog Yisrael not to take a shower on Shabbos or Yom Tov. This is an established minog, he says, which you should not ignore that minog. And there's a minog not to take a shower on Shabbos or Yom Tov, even if it's totally cold water. Okay, that's the third thing. And the fourth thing is, even if we get past all of that, if you find a way to say that we're not heating the water on Yom Tov and the water is heated from before Yom Tov, and I'm not washing my whole body and it's not considered the minig, etc., I cannot do it in a place where I might come to wash my whole body. So I can't do it in a merchatz. We have to define what a merchatz is. A merchatz is a place where people would wash themselves. It was a good old bathhouse. Is our shower considered a merchatz, which we have this issur? So we have four problems that we're going to have to address to find a way to make this be permitted on Yom Tov. Again, the four problems is you cannot heat water to wash your whole body. Number two, even if the water is heated before Yom Tov, you may not wash your whole body with it. Number three, there's a minhag not to take a shower. And number four, even if you get past all of that, you have a problem. You cannot do it in the place where you would be natural to then come to wash your whole body. Okay. So let's talk in regards to the first issue. So the Chacham is like this: you may heat water on Yom Tov. Again, so the idea of opening up the tap is considered heating water, because since I need the hot water in the tap to come out to do whatever I'm using, but I can't do that without water coming in and pushing, and that water is going to get heated. So I know that it's a secretion, a locha. It's definitely going to happen. So it's equivalent. I'm heating that water because I have a need. So it's really interesting. What I'm doing, on Yom Tov, when I'm washing dishes, is I am heating the water in the boiler in order to wash my dishes with other water. I don't use that water to wash, because that water, until I get to that water, could take quite some time. But I am heating that water in order to use this water. So that's still a problem. But I am allowed to heat water for the purpose of washing dishes. I am allowed to heat water for the purpose of washing my face, hands, and feet. A person would want to wash face, hands, and feet. A person would be allowed to heat water. A person is also allowed to heat water, we assume in halacha, In case of need, a person is very, very uncomfortable, in case of need, for any specific part of their body. Not only their face, hands, or feet, but any specific part of their body. We're not talking about the whole body yet, we're talking about any specific part of the body. And that would be true up to but less than half of your body. So a person got something on the lower part of their body and they want to wash off their legs, both legs, no, and they want to heat water for that purpose, that would be permitted. So a person could do that. Okay, so now when I turn on the hot water to wash my face, hands, and feet, which I may do, I'm allowed to turn on the water for that purpose. Right? The fact that I leave the water on afterwards to then use it for the rest of my body is not a problem. Again, so since I'm allowed to turn on the water to be able to heat up water on Yom Tov, which I'm doing, in order to be able to use to wash my face, hands, and feet, if I don't turn off the water afterwards, I didn't turn off the water. Now the problem is not turning on the water and heating water. That's happening by itself already. What's happening afterwards, what's happening later, is not very... I don't have to turn it off. Therefore, I can leave it on to allow me to then... But if I would want to go, you know, the boiler went and we're going back to the shtetl and I take this big pot and I put it up on there with intent to heat it for my body, I can't do that. Even though my body is included with my face, hands, and feet, but my goal right now is not my face, hands, and feet. My goal is my whole body. That I can't do. I cannot heat up water for the purpose of washing my whole body. I may heat up water for my face, hands, and feet, and what happens afterwards, I do not need to then staunch that flow, stop that flow, and therefore I can still use the water. So am I making sense so far? We have the first problem. Seems to be we have a way to solve it by turning on the water for your face, hands, and feet, and then using the water afterwards for whatever comes afterwards.
But if I want, I know I'm going to be taking a shower, but for the rest of me, it's kind of like I'm making a legal fiction.
Yep.
Correct.
Am I allowed to do that?
Yes, correct.
Okay. I'm a lawyer. Legal fictions are fine.
Okay, okay. Okay. So now, yes.
Turn on one tap and turn on the other tap, and then the fact that the boiler is going.
No, I would probably say, I'm not sure about that. That's a good question. I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. I would probably say not, because then you're doing a specific act for the purpose of something other. You know, go to the sink and turn on the water to wash dishes and then go to the tub. I don't think so. I think there'd be a problem. Because then it's not a legal fiction anymore. Then you're specifically doing it for that purpose.
I'm washing the dishes, and while I'm washing the dishes, my husband goes upstairs and turns on the...
I said, but he's then turning it on for that purpose.
Not
right. Right. He's pulling more water. What? Okay. Right. Okay. So that's maybe in some way the first hurdle we have to go over, and that's we have a way which is a valid halachic way to deal with the first hurdle. The second hurdle is more challenging. Second hurdle is you cannot use water, which was heated on Yom Tov, to wash your body. Your whole body. You can use water which was heated on Yom Tov for your face, hands, and feet. You may not use water which was heated on Yom Tov. So if we want to solve this problem, the first thing we have to do is people have to take their showers on Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos this year early. First step. This way, by the time Shabbos starts, the water is heated. So you have in your boiler 40 gallons of heated water. But if you take your last shower 5 minutes and it's cold water in there, that water is going to be heated on Shabbos, which is the same as Yom Tov for our purposes. So then that's it. The conversation is over. So if you want to discuss a possibility how to use the water, we want to get water which is heated from before Yom Tov, because water is heated on Yom Tov, we don't have a way to do it. Water is heated from before Yom Tov, we will see that there is a way to do it. I want to say that. Water is heated on Yom Tov, we do have a way to do it, but it's not as... then whatever. We'll see. There's going to be a difference in halacha if we do water which is heated from before Yom Tov, water which is heated on Yom Tov. So we want to start with water which is heated before Yom Tov. So how do you do that? First, you have to make sure that your heater is that what's in the boiler has been heated before Yom Tov. Yom Tov meaning Shabbos in the situation. So Erev Shabbos, if
early Shabbos, so then you have.
So you may right. So if you know that the last shower is done, I don't know how long it takes. Each boiler has its recovery time. Right, but let's say recovery time in a boiler is an hour to get all of, if you would deplete the whole, all of the water, it takes an hour to reheat it. You want to make sure that you're last. That would be a good boiler, right? Usually it's probably a little longer than that, right? Yes?
I wondered what you were saying, university towers. The towers would be different. What is different?
What is different? You know, let me hold that, and I'll try to come back to that, okay? Okay, because it's a whole different system how it works. Yes?
So tankless water heaters are a non-starter then.
Tankless water, correctly, yes, yeah, yes. We are old-fashioned. We like tanks. Okay, So for argument's sake, the first step is to get, so you now have 40 gallons of hot water. And it, even though the thermostat continues to go on and off whenever, but since it's basically starting with hot water, that's considered water which is heated from before over the Shabbos / Yom Tov. Now, over Shabbos, you don't use any hot water. So now it comes Yom Tov, and now you're going to start using some of the hot water. So you're going to wash some dishes. So I don't know how many get. I would not advise to have it running a full blast to wash some of your dishes. If you want to take a shower, save that water.
How do you know exactly? This is all like, you don't know exactly how much water you have. So like,
what is that? Your average tank is 40 gallons. You don't use 40 gallons of water washing your dishes. I hope not. You know,
paper dishes.
You know, right?
I'll use all paper like a shower.
Okay, right, fine, right. So you wash maybe a pot or two. The first night of Yom Tov, you're going to wash a few pots. You're maybe going to wash a few serving utensils. It doesn't use up that much water. It doesn't, unless you like blow for a blast and, you know, have the kids playing in it. You know, like, you know, don't do that, right? So you're going to have a significant amount of water left in there. Okay, now you come. Let's say the first day Yom Tov, let's say for argument's sake, or the second. Nobody's done any major washing over here. You have water in there, which is water which is heated before Yom Tov. Water which is heated before Yom Tov, you may not wash your whole body at one time. However, you may wash your body, aver, piece by piece. Okay. Again, water which is heated from before Yom Tov. Water is heated before Yom Tov. You may not wash your body at one time. This is a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, but you may wash your body piece by piece. Okay. Now, how do we define piece by piece? So, for argument's sake, you wet one part of your body, you lather it up, and you rinse it off. Next, you go to the next part of your body. You wet it, you lather it, you rinse it off. That's called aver. Okay.
You can turn on the hot water to do that.
We're going to be turning on the hot water to do that because it's hot water from before Yom Tov.
Even though you've added cold water?
Even though you've added cold water, right.
Cold water is adding, you mean? Because cold water is adding from the system, you mean?
You've washed dishes. You've added cold water.
You used all the water that was.
No, because in general, the majority of what is there is considered water which is heated before Yom Tov.
So then why do I need to finish showers an hour before Shabbos as long as I haven't drained?
Because you don't want it to fill up on Shabbos.
No, because if you have only one shower and you don't take a long shower, but you have five people taking showers and they've been going one after the other, your thing is probably lukewarm by the end, and all of it heated up on Shabbos. That's a problem. You're right. You have two. You have one person in the house, and you know you don't take long showers. Not a problem. You take one person takes a 15-minute shower. You have a problem. Yes.
Says
keeping, maintaining the heat is not a problem. Heating up is a problem. So if you're starting with cold water, which you're heating, that's where you have an issue. If you have 40 gallons of hot water and you keep, the thermostat goes on every few hours to keep boil up again, it's maintaining the heat which is there, that's not a problem. Okay. If you bring in, again, in the scenario where you depleted your boiler, the hot water tank before Shabbos, and it turns on, it's heating up the cold water from the main, 40 gallons of cold water heating up. Right, so that would be a different story. But again, we're talking about you didn't do that. Yes?
Ava means limb.
Right.
Does that mean my arm? Or does that mean just my, for example, my forearm?
Even an arm would be fine. You can do a whole arm as a shot, right?
Thank you.
Right. Okay, now, so if you're dealing with water which is heated, so let's say for argument's sake you have one or two people need to take a shower. Theoretically, you could do this. You have a whole family wants to take a shower. So the third person probably at this point in time, we can't guarantee that the water that they're using wasn't water which is heated on Shabbos / Yom Tov. But make sure that you're first, and then you'll solve your problems. Okay. I'll get to the serious part in a second. Yeah, but.
Can you use water from the urn?
You can use water from the urn. You can use water from the urn. That's fine. That's water was heated. That's heated from beforehand. Yes.
Can you let it recover?
You can let it recover. That's water was heated on Yom Tov, which then you can't use.
No, if you don't heat it.
But the majority is still from before, and then.
No, but I was saying again. Once you're basically saying, when I'm taking the shower, I'm using the water, so that's not going to solve the problem.
Right. Oh yeah.
But when you're. If you depleted it, and you can you warm up for Panav Yadav Raglav?
Yes, but that's a great question. Can I address the question? I'm not going to get involved in the question. Okay. Same thing.
You're saying for your face, hands, and feet, you can
heat up water on Yom Tov. But you don't say Agav. You heat up water on Yom Tov. You could also heat up water for your whole body. You can't say that, right? That's what Craig is saying.
Beginning, you said you had
it going. No, if I turn on, I'm taking out the water. But if I'm turning on, I want to heat all the water for my body purposes. That I can't do. Oh, if I'm not heating the water for my body purposes. Okay. Right, because it's just flowing. It's just flowing naturally. But if I want to heat it for that purpose, I can't do that. Okay. So that would address the second problem. Now, in a case where you have a third person or onwards, this solution would not be a solution. Water which is heated on Yom Tov, you may not wash your whole body, even Aver. Okay? So even though you're doing it Aver, if it's water which is heated on Yom Tov, you may not wash. So first person goes in, whoever draws the long straw, whoever it is, they take the shower, they would take a regular shower. The second person, maybe we could argue the same thing, depending on how many dishes you had to do, right?
You're still doing
Aver, Aver, correct.
Regular shower.
Right, but now I'm getting to the third person, you can't even do that.
I don't understand if I'm using the water to use dishes. Wash dishes.
Yeah. I'm not getting involved in whys. Just accept these are the facts. The whys are too complicated for tonight's year. And my wife asked the same question already. I told her, "Can you
stuck on it."
Good. So you two will figure it out afterwards. Okay.
Oh no!
Well, I'm
going to try
this year, me and Masha.
Okay.
And what about for a baby? Is this just for an adult?
I will remind me to get the babies at the end. Okay.
Should we do the kids last?
Remind me to get the babies. Okay. Come here, Ty. Okay. Okay. So now that's the third person and onwards, for argument's sake, we're going to have a different approach. I will get to that. Okay. I'm still dealing with the first two individuals, right? And they've heated up the water from before Yom Tov, and they draw that they got the first straw, and they're in there, and they're doing Aver, and everything is wonderful, and they're using their liquid soap, and they're not rubbing their hair too vigorously, and everything is wonderful. Okay, there's a third problem: is there's a minig not to take showers on Yom Tov. So what are we talking about over here? Let's just close the book and go home. So Sir Moshe says on that minig, in a case where a person is a mitztayer, it's permitted. Mitztayer means a person is uncomfortable. Now, uncomfortable doesn't mean, it means uncomfortable. Your person is really, really sweaty. It's really, the air conditioning is going in the house. You've been outside for a long time. Person is really, really uncomfortable. So that is what we're talking about mitztayer. Mitztayer doesn't mean just but at the end of your regular day, whatever. It means that there's a significant discomfort. So let's say in a Yom Tov, but the third day, it's really uncomfortable. So for many people, okay. Right? So mitztayer is mutter. Now the case in Halacha which says mitztayer is mutter is to take a fully cold shower. Okay, that's the case it says in Halacha. So Moshe says that not only can you take a fully cold shower, but we can go back to the situation because we're dealing with water which is heated from before Yom Tov. You can go back to, it's now going to be permitted to do what we're suggesting to do. But you need that condition of being a mitztayer. I take a shower every morning, that's the way I am. That's not a heter. We're talking about because a person has got to the point where they're uncomfortable. And then it's heter.
I guess can a mother be having discomfort for her child in the sense like, their hair is stuck with
possible. No, it's my discomfort.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Yeah, you can be tremendous discomfort, but tough luck. Okay, the kid loves it. They're like they want more. More popsicles in the air. We will get that. come on. You have to wait when I'm making a joke, please. Okay, ladies.
And the cold, if you would take a cold shower then, is there an issue? Do you still have to do Aver? Or at that point you can just...
In a case or a person doesn't mean stire. And they are willing to take a cold shower. They can do. They can shower straight without Aver.
But you have to be mitztayer. You have to be uncomfortable.
You have to be mitztayer, right? You have to be very uncomfortable to take a straight cold shower. Okay. That's the third issue. So we're addressing the third issue by making this condition of a mitztayer. So we're talking about a person who's a mitztayer, and there's water heated from before Yom Tov, and they're washing Aver. Okay. The fourth issue is the following. The fourth issue is, even after this is all, we've solved all these problems, there's a fourth issue that you may not do it in a place that you might come to wash your body regularly. Okay, right. Okay, so okay. So I'm going to tell you one suggestion which I saw for this issue, which I don't recommend. If you want to do it, that's your business. But just I want to point, if you do it, how to do it right. Then I'll talk about maybe another suggestion, then maybe a third suggestion. Again, if you have another, you have suggestions, I'll take suggestions from the floor. Okay, but let me finish. They're going to sound funny, but just let me finish before you start giving me arguments. Okay, okay. So the first one is that one person says that the whole issue is you might come to take a shower, so you do it in an abnormal fashion, it's mutter if you wear an item of clothing. Okay. Now, so that's the suggestion. If a person would wear one item of clothing, that changes the whole, then we go, everything else is, something everything else is your mitzvah, and it's the water is heated beforehand, and you're doing aver, as long as you would wear an item of clothing, it's going to be mutter. That's what he suggests. Now, the challenge which I have with this, I have a concern with this, is you may not wash clothing on Yom Tov. So if you would do that, you can't have the water going directly on the item of clothing, because then you're considered washing the clothing on Yom Tov. If the water is going on another part of your body, taking off the dirt and then going on to the... It's soiling it, it's not cleaning it. All right, but if the water is going directly onto that item of clothing, it would be a problem that you are washing that item of clothing, number one. Number two, it doesn't get soaking wet, you have a problem with skita when you want to take it off. Right? So you're going to have two issues with this. It's a good halachic solution, but it comes with a whole set of problems which come with it. Right? So you're going to have two other problems which are going to come with that. Is A, you're going to be doing, potentially, be very careful not to wash it. And number two, you have a problem that besides not washing it, you have to be careful when you take it off, you can't squeeze it out. So taking it off, if it's soaking wet, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have to let it dry for a little bit, air dry a little bit, before you would take it off in that situation. So that is one suggestion.
Do waterproof
count,
like a rock or something?
No.
Does it count? You're not going to wash the rest of your body, you're not going to wash your hair.
Yes.
Or shower cap.
Shower cap, no. Tichel, yes. Okay. So now, that is... What?
Tichel might
solve the problem. If you're not touching your hair, tichel might solve the problem. Yes. Okay. I don't think so, because those people. The point is, it's something you would not be normally wearing in the shower. So something which you'd be wearing in the shower doesn't, right? But you don't want to walk in the shower with your. You might walk in the shower cap. But you're not going to walk in with a tichel. That's why I said a shower cap. No, but a tichel, yes.
What about jewelry that you wouldn't normally wear in the shower?
I don't think so. That would help. That's not. I don't think that would help. Okay. Now, the second solution is. So let's skip the shower, fill up the water, put down a towel on your bathroom floor, and pour water over yourself. One aver by aver, right? Right? Wet it, soap, pour. Wet it, soap, pour. It'll work. Now, you might have a major mess on your floor. But that's, come on, it's Yom Tov. You have a simplest Yom Tov, especially with the kids. It's a lot of fun. So that would be the second, I understand why some people hesitate to do that. My wife pointed out that in Eretz Yisrael would have sponger holes in the middle of your bathroom. That'd be great. But we don't have sponger holes in the middle of our bathroom floor. We're now going to push from now on. The kosher innovations have sponge holes in the middle of your bathroom floors, and we solve this problem. Okay.
Don't you have a
skita
problem with the
problem with the towel on the floor is it's not going to be skita is a problem. The two problems with skita is that you're not cleaning it because what it's getting wet with is dirty water. Picking it up afterwards, so you have to leave one corner dry, and you pick up that corner, and you don't solve that problem. Okay. The third suggestion, which I suggested to a poisik. And he said it's a good idea, but he didn't want to pass an halacha l'maisa with it. So I'm going to tell you that it's still waiting psak. Is that I wanted to suggest that a shower is different than a bathtub. A place which is only a shower stall. In other words, the gzeirah of rechitza in Bizman Chazal started always with a place that they would immerse themselves. They would go into the bathhouse. They didn't have showers. So something which is only a shower, you cannot bathe yourself there, you can only shower yourself there, I want to suggest possibly as mutter, and I suggest it to somebody, and he says, it's a good point, He did not want to accept it. So I cannot tell you local mice at this point in time that I'm comfortable with it. It's a Kiddush, and I wanted to have somebody else sign off on it as well. And at this point in time, I don't have that heter. Okay, but so those, that's the challenge we're going to have. Yes?
I would also suggest possibly if you have a bathtub that has a shower that you normally don't use as a bathtub.
So that
I
think that's pushing it. I think the shower stall is much more comfortable to say that.
Okay.
You could put a bucket on the floor and stand in the bucket. I have no problem with that. You could take your child's little swim pool and put it on your bathroom floor and sit and stand in that. Also, I don't mind. That's fine. Just get it into your bathroom. That would be a reason I have large bathrooms. Okay. Now, this is all talking about, so let me just review what we have up to this point. Okay, so if we have water which is heated from before Yom Tov, and a person is a mitzdayer, they're very uncomfortable, right? And they're going to do part of the body one part at a time, and we're going to find some way that it's not going to be the normal way of taking a shower. Let's say the tickle on somebody's head, that would allow us to do this. Okay. And again, obviously you're being careful about not squeezing, etc. Okay, that is in a case where you have water which is heated from before Yom Tov. Let's say you don't have water which is heated from before Yom Tov. So we don't, the second person, the third person, it's been depleted. You didn't. You had five guests came last minute. And you took five showers right before Shabbos, or you had a lot of dishes you had to wash, etc. So you don't have water in your tank which is heated from beforehand. So you're heating up water on Yom Tov. You may not heat up a water on Yom Tov to wash your whole body. You may not do that, right? So what are you allowed to do? So you're allowed to heat up water to wash your face, hands, and feet, or any part of your body, up to, but not including, half of your body. So a person can do the following. A person can take a shower on half of their body, or a little less than half of their body. So the reality is, in most scenarios, the places which really bother you are a few places. All right? The few areas of your body which you need to wash, that's not usually, if that'll be less than half of your body, that's all you have to do. And again, you have to wear your tichel, and you have to, or something of that sort, so you've solved that problem. You have to, that part, you don't have to waver aver, you can do it as one unit, right? And if you're a mitzdayer, again, you need to have to mitzdayer for this. If you're a mitzdayer, so we've addressed our problem. So from number three and onwards, they can take a partial shower. They can take a partial shower up to, but not including, the majority of the, it has to be less than the majority of their body. Now, if later on in the day they want to take a second shower, you may do so. But in this situation, it's not like Avery, you do one, you have to actually finish the shower, get dressed, leave the shower, and later on come back and do a different shower. It cannot be, that legal fiction will not work. So over here, it has to be that there's two clearly independent actions of showering for different parts of your body. And you may do that. But you would have to do it. Now, exactly how long do you have to wait? You have to jog around the block five times. I have no idea. I'm not sure. Okay. Yes. That was your question, right? That's okay. Sure. Okay, good. Okay. That would, in a scenario which you don't have water heated beforehand, that would be the solution. You may do that. Again, you only should rely on that heter in the case that you are a mitzdayer. The person has really uncomfortable, so then they may rely on this heter. What about children? Okay. Yes?
If I'm legitimately heating up water for tea, and I'm filling my tea kettle... And
doesn't help.
It does not help, okay.
Does not help. I mean, if you want to use water from your tea kettle, not from the tap.
No, no, I'm heating up water in my tea kettle for tea. I fill the whole tea kettle and I put it up and I drink tea. Can I then use that water from the tea kettle for tea?
I'm
legitimately making tea.
Yes, that would be mutter. Yeah, that would be mutter, but that would not work if you're legitimately heating up water to wash your face, hands, and feet. Though I just want to point that out. It's only if you're making tea.
It's for tea.
Yeah,
for food.
Food. Right. Yes. Don't ask me why. Just believe me.
Just a quick thing. Number one, if you're going to take a cold shower, then you don't need to call or anything.
If you're going to take a cold
in the shower,
in the case where you're taking a mamish cold shower, yes, you do not need to call.
Now you said that you have to be inspired to do that, so it's better to do a cold shower, obviously, than a hot shower. But you said you have to do than to do all this. But you said for both of them you have to be uncomfortable. So how do you determine if a cold, if like when to do a cold shower or when to just do all this? You have to be more uncomfortable.
No, it's the same. It's the same.
So isn't it? It's not better to do a.
Is it
once you're uncomfortable, is it better? If a cold shower will suffice, is that better?
I would say yes, because I am relying on some leniencies for what we're saying over here. Cold shower is mutter. Mutter b'shar. But if you can handle a cold shower.
Has me mom's cold, not
your shower. I like your thinking.
For argument's sake right now, we're going to assume cold. There are some poskim would say you're not allowed to do lukewarm.
But that's turning on the hot water then.
Right.
And but the which yes, and you would allowed to, and they say you'd be allowed to turn on. And Mishabur does not want to rely on that heter. Yes.
I was going to ask kind of like that. It seems like in the summer we use less hot water. You know, we add more colds into the mix, so maybe it would take longer, say, to
deplete. That already you have to ask the engineer part of my marriage, not me. You know, how long it takes to deplete? I don't know. Yes.
Off the water, the arrival into the tank?
No, because it won't work. If you do, it won't work. Because
you have to turn off. So how do you know when you're depleting
it? I don't know. I'm just we're estimating. We're not knowing for sure. We're estimating.
How do you know?
You can do it during the week. You can see how many showers you take till it runs cold.
Right.
How long?
Yes.
So could you fill the bathtub with say cold water and let it warm up to room temperature, and then use a bucket to wash with that?
Yes, 100%. Okay. Okay. Now, okay. Okay. So what about a child? What about a child? So, ladies. Thank you. What about a child? So, a child, because I'll recognize the fact that children, A, get dirty more often, and B, the hygiene for a child is maybe more significant than for adult in the sense that, you know, it's necessary. So we differentiate in halacha between two scenarios. So if you have a child, which you made the child accustomed to being washed every day or every other day. So then there's you're allowed to wash kol gufa. There's no requirement of aver. You still need to address the issue of heating the water. So you have two options. You can use water heated from before yomtiv, which you may do, which could be in our scenario the water heater, or you could take water from the urn and mix it with water, and that would be permitted. Or if you open up the water for a valid purpose and then let the water continue to run, you would be able to use that as well. And then you can wash the child directly. You do not need to do it aver. In a case where a child... in a bathtub. Right.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. For a child who's washed daily or every other day, you may wash the whole body at one time, and you do not need to put a tichel on their head, especially if it's a boy, right? Especially if you want to wash your hair, right? You do not need to, and you may do it in the place where you normally do it, and you do not need to do it aver, but the water has to be water which is warmed in a permitted way. The two options are water which is heated from beforehand, which we gave a few examples of. That would be either you had water in the tank, or let's say you take water from an urn and you mix it with cold water. Or if you open up the faucet for a valid usage, you can wash your hands, right?
You can wash your hands in the bathtub, and that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah. I mean, if you need to wash your hands, you know, it's not illegal. That's a real need, right? Your hands are dirty because the kid's dirty, and your hands are dirty. So you want to wash your hands. So yes, you can open the water to wash your hands, and then you can use that water to wash the child.
Even if it wasn't heated before you
opened it. Even if it was not heated before you opened
it. You can let the water run.
Let the water run, right?
And like let the child sit in the bath like normal, like fill up a bath.
Yes. Okay. Now, the other scenario is in a case where the child, even if the child is not washed daily, but in a case where the child became dirty. So the everything else remains the same. Then you're allowed to wash the body with the child in the regular way. You do not need to do aver. But again, the water has to be heated. Either the water was either heated from before Yom Tov, or you're going to open up the water for a valid purpose and let the water continue to run. Okay, that is for children. And that's what?
Could you define, like, the different ages?
It doesn't. It just depends on how. If
a 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old who washes every day would have the same thing.
Or every other day.
Or every other day.
This is fine still. It's basically under bar bas
mitzvah. I don't know.
Okay, so 10 is fine.
I think 10 is fine. Depending on the kid, who the kid is. Yeah, your kid.
Not fine. Well.
All right. Well, does any of this change for someone who's bathing for health reasons? The health reason that we talk about all the time is pollen. Sleeping in pollen is very bad for us.
It automatically gives you the dynamic stire. That's all it basically accomplishes. It doesn't. Okay. So for an adult, you still have to aver, etc. Everything else is the same.
But for my daughter.
Yeah.
Throwing.
Yeah. Now you have to be careful with the hair or something like that. Okay, fine. Now,
shave it off.
I didn't say it. Now the regards to the cases where the water is not it's used as a pump, which means that they do not necessarily you do not need the new water coming in to push the old water out. So. The other hand, so let's make our scenario easy. You know, I was able to make such a unit in my house. So the water's in there; it's cooked from beforehand. And the water, I don't need water to come in afterwards to push it out. So as long as there's plenty of water in there, I have no issues of I'm not cooking any water. I can shut off the valve. You can shut off the intake valve in that situation. You can make such a home system. You need to install it, etc. So in that situation, you're not cooking water on Yom Tov. So by definition, all the water is always going to be a situation of water which is there from before Yom Tov, when you don't have any of those issues of that you're cooking water on Yom Tov. So I can't cook water on Yom Tov for face, hands, and feet. I'm not cooking any water. Now, what gets interesting is that, and that means. That means even on Yom Tov, let me think this through. It means even on Yom Tov, when you open the water for face, hands, and feet, the fact that the water is getting cooked through the whole body, you don't really care about that. So therefore, because you don't need it, so you're not considered cooking water for your whole body, you're considered cooking water for face, hands, and feet. Okay, that's true. Now, how does it make
it? Not cooking water at all, it's the closed system.
I understand, but the mice is not a closed system. But the point is, since it could be a closed system, you don't care about that water. That water is irrelevant to you. You don't need that water to be cooked. So you're not considered cooking that water. It's a psik resha of the lo yichpus lei. So at that point in time, you're not doing that. So now, you're not doing that. So therefore what? So you're cooking water on... You're not cooking any water on Yom Tov. You're not cooking any water on Yom Tov other than for your face, hands, and feet. Because whatever happens afterwards is not a problem. So I want to take, even though the water had exchanged, no, it's not going to solve the problem. You still have the merchatz issue. You still have the, you need mitzdayer. The only question is, you're solving the cooking water issue, which you're not going to solve according to Baker. No, it's not going to make a difference. In this area, it's not going to make a difference. I'm sorry. That was incorrect. And Shabbos would make some differences, but not on Yom Tov. You know, the shower issue would not make a difference. Okay. Do want to point out, going to the mikveh on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there was theoretically Xeris Merchatz on that as well. So Mishabura says the mikveh cannot be hot. The water is heated from before, but the mikveh cannot be hot. What's permitted in halacha is parshrin. It should be lukewarm. So in the case where the water is heated beforehand, so we don't have we, we and then for the purpose of Tefillas Mitzvah, we're going to allow that. We're not going to make the Gzeres Merchatz and that Tefillas Mitzvah part. So that part is, it's the whole body, it's not Eber Eber, and you're not wearing a tichel. And but right, it's the mukkim where you normally, where a person theoretically could wash themselves, but the heating issue is a problem. So Mishnah Berurah says, what about a case where it wasn't heated beforehand? What would be allowed? He says, the only thing we allowed is to have a non-Jew heat the water. Now, what about a system which does it automatically? So the assumption would be that halacha, that's the same thing. So, but Mishnah Berurah does say that the situation is still the hetter should only be parshim. So mikvos preferably should keep the temperature to basically about what's the body temperature? 98.6. That's now your skin temperature is about seven is in the 70s. So the heat. When the person expectorates some saliva, it's temperature, it's body temperature. It feels warm to your touch because your skin is about is usually the temperature the skin temperature is in the 70s usually. So that's the temperature you're allowed to have. That's up to that point is considered pressure. It's considered to be lukewarm water. Once it goes beyond that, it starts feeling hot. So preferably a mikvah should be now. There's actually there's a Rashi which holds in general by a mikvah you should not use hot water for a mikvah. In general, Rashi holds it's a psul, and that's why our mikvah is makbid, that the temperature does not go above. There's a thermostat over there that keeps the temperature in the mikvah itself, not above body temperature. It hits about 98, and that's as high as it goes. It doesn't go above 98. That's one of the things which Rabbi Heinemann was makbid about on the mikvah. He was makbid on that, and that's how we set up the system over here that it does that. So, but our mikvahs, one of the big questions is men mikvahs are hot. So Mishnah Berurah is really advocates against it. It's really incorrect. It should not be like that. But if it is, and a person needs to use the mikvah, he says, you may use a hot mikvah. You cannot stay in the mikvah. You have to go in and out as quickly as possible. Okay, so that addresses the mikvah part of it. So I think I've covered what I wanted to cover on the showers. So the title of the shiur was, Showering on Yom Tov, or Showering on Yom Tov. So it means you could ask the question one of two ways. Really? You're showering Yom Tov? Who's that? Said that's mutter. Or, oh yeah, you're showering Yom Tov? Well, I'll tell you how to do it. Because both of them are valid questions. It's not so simple to find a hat to shower on Yom Tov. Now, I do want to point out, you might have heard some people hold that Yom Tov Sheni is mutter, and well, the whole thing is mutter nowadays. I actually saw an article printed by a rabbi, which he writes a long article why he's going to say that it's permitted. There are multiple halachic errors in that article. I want to point that out. There are multiple halachic errors in that article, and I mean, some of them are blatant halachic errors, and it's a well-known article. A lot of people have quoted it to me about so-and-so says it's mutter. Yes, I can't judge, vouch for whether he's Talmud Chacham or not, but this article, there are multiple halachic errors. And that's why I'm pointing out that it's not so simple to do it, but if you are doing it, there are some ways to do it which can make it fairly doable, and that's where we're trying to do that. Okay, ladies, thank you. Oh, yes.
In the apartment building where you cannot control where the water is heated. So being heated on one side.
Right, so then you would have to go to the minority part of the body approach. Mm-hmm.